Rossi and the team, and good morning, everyone. Great to see you all. What a magnificent, beautiful day, huh? Who was awake for the sunrise this morning? Rubble, you were awake, you say? What's it, having your quiet time? Apparently, it was a very quiet time. The thing I love about Russell, he's a real prayer warrior. He gives you a boost as you preach because the whole sermon is in prayer. And so... But folk, if you're new to the church this morning, if you popped in for a visit, you're so welcome. So good to see you. Neil Mack and his team have made some delicious coffee. It's waiting for you in the hall behind me after the service, but welcome to you all. I know it's going to be a great blessing to you. Just one thing I must mention this morning, it's my sister Haley's birthday. She's 41, not out. And there she's at the back there. So, yeah, happy birthday to Haley. Hope you have a fantastic day, girl, and we'll see you later for coffee and for cake. Just condolences to Noel Monk as well. I spoke to Noel a bit earlier. His sister passed away during the course of the week. Noel, we're thinking of you, buddy. May you know God's grace and love and strength in your life as well. And then just to remind you, I did mention last week, but next week, the 29th of April, a quick members meeting after the service before coffee, just to confirm our new treasurer, and also to share just a bit of news about Mike Wagner, who's had some unfortunate circumstances happen to him, and he's had to take a break from the eldership for the time being. So just those two things next week. All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 15, Crumbs of Mercy. Ladies, you're going to love me this morning, trust me. Some of you last week were very disappointed that you weren't mentioned or included in the feeding of the 5,000. You were very disillusioned. And so today I'm going to make you the star of the show. I'm going to bat for you. And we're going to look at a lady, a mother who demonstrated great faith. And all the ladies said, amen. Amen. Fantastic. And by the way, because we're baptizing people this morning, the sermon's not going to be long. And everybody said, thank you for the encouragement. That's just great. I feel invigorated. Let's get going. Matthew 15, 21. Ladies, you're going to enjoy this one. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a lady of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. And Jesus answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember, Jesus' primary ministry was focused on the Jewish people, and later he would commission his disciples to take the message to the Gentiles and to the ends of the earth. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the little dogs. And she said, true, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. All right, there's so much happening in this text. We have this desperate woman. We have the demon-possessed daughter. We have Jesus seemingly playing hard to get. And we've got the disciples acting like a bunch of buffoons. So what can we learn? Well, a couple of quick points before I get to the main point of the text. And the first thing we see is that hardship, difficulty, can sometimes be a blessing in disguise. Question. Would this lady ever have approached Jesus had it not been for a crisis? Probably not. And many of us have a similar story, I'm sure, in that a crisis in our lives, an unexpected event, created in us our need for Jesus. Had it not been for that crisis, that unexpected event, the disappointment, we would have carried on in our own ways. But God used that crisis not to create the need, but to reveal the need in our hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ. And suddenly we realize, I'm not as strong as I thought I was. And this calamity, this trial, this crisis has revealed that I really need God in my life. And so God uses these difficult circumstances to get our attention and to remind us that we need Him in our lives. Spurgeon once said this, and I love this quote. He said, "It is truly a blessed hurricane that drops us on the rock of ages. Blessed tears that clean out our eyes that we might see Him." None of us like the hurricanes. But if the hurricane drops us on the rock of ages, what a blessing. And so God sometimes uses these difficult events that we go through during the course of life, and none of us go through life unscathed. All of us will face difficult and sad and traumatic events. May that hurricane not push you away from God. May that hurricane drop you on the rock of ages. And may you find in Jesus all that you need for life. A second quick observation from the text is that we clearly see the reality of a spiritual enemy. The details aren't given to us. We don't know what the symptoms or the manifestations were. But we know that this lady's daughter was severely affected by demon spirit. In fact, in verse 22, she tells us, she says, "My daughter is not just demon-possessed, but severely demon-possessed." And folk, the Bible is crystal clear. Our battle as human beings is not against flesh and blood. We have a spiritual enemy who hates God, who is opposed to God, who hates people created in the image of God, and is committed to destroying and derailing your life. And to be unaware of that fact is to play into the devil's hands. And so the Bible's crystal clear, as you journey through life, just be cognizant, be aware that beyond the natural, there's a spiritual component to life. And in that spiritual realm, there's a spiritual enemy committed to your destruction and to derailing your life, your marriage, your family, and your future. Be aware of that. And so this lady approaches Jesus, and her daughter is severely tormented and affected by a demon spirit. Just last week, I had the privilege of going to a family here in Ganubi, family of four. They have recently started coming to our church. And the little girl who's in Sunday school this morning was experiencing what the family described to me as excessive night terrors. 5 years old, she couldn't sleep. And this continued, they said, for a year. Just excessive night terrors, nightmares, torment, sleepless nights, tears, for a year. And so I went to their home in 14th Avenue, and I simply went into the little girl's room, sat on her bed, held mom and dad's hand, had the two girls with me in the room, and we simply prayed in the name of Jesus for release. Do you know that from that day, that little girl has slept like a baby? Thank you, Jesus. No more sleepless nights, no more torment, just peace. Don't be oblivious to the fact that you have a spiritual enemy. But you know, let me encourage you this morning. We see from this story and from many other stories that Jesus Christ has complete authority over demons in the spiritual realm. It's not like Jesus Christ is trying to win the battle. Jesus Christ has won the battle. We sang about it. On the cross, Jesus Christ triumphed over darkness, and so as His followers, we don't pray for victory. We simply enforce the victory that's already been won. You know what the Bible says, dear friends? That all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. Not some authority, not limited authority, but all power and all authority belongs to Jesus. And so when you pray for these difficult and dark situations, recognize where your hope comes from. Recognize the source of your power, the source of your victory. His name is Jesus. All authority and all power in heaven and on earth belongs to him, and we enforce the victory that he has already won. Third quick point that we see from this text is beware the danger of the Christian club. Did you see how the disciples had this little Jesus club going? Hey, lady, keep quiet. Stop shouting out. Stop disturbing Jesus. He belongs to us. You're not even a Jew. You're a Canaanite. We don't need people like you around us. Go away. And they're trying to silence her. Folk, I want to tell you, there are many people in Gunubi and all around the world who fit this lady's profile. There are many people who you meet and I meet that are desperate for a touch from Jesus Christ. Desperate for hope and for love and for guidance and for wisdom and for deliverance. And yes, they haven't lived perfect lives. They're not perfect Christians. They don't fit this mold. But may God forgive us if we ever push them away. If we ever make them feel like they're excluded from our little club because Jesus belongs to us, he does not. For God so loved the world. And the world includes broken people, dysfunctional people, backslidden people, addicted people. Jesus died for the world. And this church's doors, as you can see, are wide open. Anybody is welcome to come and receive love and grace and the opportunity to start all over again because of Jesus. All right, let's get to the main point of the passage. Verse 28, Jesus says to the woman, "Woman, great is your faith." Now, great in the original Greek language, we get the English word mega from that word. And so this woman doesn't just have faith, she has mega faith according to Jesus, great faith. And so let's see briefly what great faith or mega faith looks like in practice. Well, the first thing we see is that great faith perseveres. Man, this lady refused to give up. If she was a dog, she would have been a bulldog. She wouldn't give up. The first time she asks for help, Jesus is silent. Did you see that? "Help me, Jesus," silence. In fact, the Bible says he didn't answer her a word. Can anybody relate to that? Jesus, can you see what's going on? I'm battling. Things are falling apart. Seemingly silent. Heaven is silent. People have written books on that topic. When heaven is silent. And yes, she is. "Jesus, help me." Silence. No answer from the Lord. Then she's got to deal with the disciples. "Send her away, Jesus. She's making a noise." She doesn't give up. She asks Jesus again. And this time he doesn't give her a yes or no answer. But he leans more to the no than to the yes. What does he say to her? He says, "It is not right to take the children's bread and to toss it to the dogs." I would have been quite offended that Jesus said that to me. You? Although, the word he uses for dogs is the word cunarion, which, if you do some research, means little dog. Or puppy. So he wasn't calling her a Rottweiler or an Alsatian. It wasn't like woof, woof. It was woof, woof. Little dog, puppy. I still don't think I would have enjoyed being called a puppy by Jesus. But she doesn't give up. First silence, then the disciples saying, "Go away," then little dog. She perseveres and she says, "If I'm a little dog, even a few crumbs from your table, Jesus, are enough for me. If that's all you can give me, I'll take them. Crumbs are enough. If that's all that's available." Man, this lady perseveres. And folk, I want to tell you this morning, if there's one critically important lesson you're going to have to learn in life and learn as a Christian, and that is perseverance. This whole faith is designed about not giving up, about perseverance. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says this, God is a rewarder. There's something to highlight in your Bible. God is what? He's a rewarder, but of who? God is a rewarder of those who diligently and perseveringly seek Him. One of my favorite verses in the whole of the Bible is Galatians 6 verse 9, which says, let us not grow weary. Your Bible might use the word there, discouraged, in doing good. For in due season, in God's time, not yours, we will reap if we don't lose heart. Man, some of you have given up too soon. Something came across your path. God was silent. Somebody put you off. And you gave up. If only you had persevered. If only you had kept on going, because God rewards those who diligently and perseveringly seek Him. Well, you know what? The Bible is full of examples of people who reap the rewards of perseverance. Abraham, and I'm just whetting your appetite. You can do the research. I'm whetting your appetite this morning. Genesis 18. He wrestled with God over Sodom. Oh God, just 10 more souls. Just 10 more people. Lord, just save 10 more, 10 more. He kept on going back. What did he discover? He discovered the mercy of God, the heart of God for those who are lost. What about Jacob? Genesis 32. He wrestled with God for a whole night. Can you imagine that? Lord, I won't let you go. I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go, Lord. I'm holding on to you until you give me what I need. I need your blessing, Lord. I can't function without your blessing. And I'm holding on to you. I will not let go until you give me what I need. When I was a new father to Timothy, he used to absolutely love boxes of Smarties. In fact, he still does, but in those early days, he really loved them. And he couldn't pronounce the word Smarties, so he called them Farties. Which is rather unfortunate, because he often used the word in church as well. But you know what? Sunday was our sweetie day. We have one day in the week where kids can buy sweets, and it's Sunday, and so that's their sweetie day. And so I'd have this box of Smarties in my hand, and I'd say, Tim, these are yours if you can get them off me. Now, he's only 3 or 4. They're yours if you can get them. So I've got them, and Tim comes and wrestles with me, and he's pouncing on me and trying to get these out of my hands, and he thinks it's about the Smarties. For me, it's about him. Just having my boy in my arms, feeling him close to me, loving him, feeling his touch. Man, some of you need to wrestle with God. Feel his embrace. You've been distant. You've been removed. And he's saying, I've got something good for your life. I've got something that's going to bless you and encourage you and help you. Come and wrestle with me. Come and persevere with me. Because in my kingdom, perseverance brings great reward. Hey, what about Moses, Exodus 33? He pleaded with God for his presence. He said, Lord, if you don't go with us on this journey, we're not going anywhere. We're not taking one step forward without the guarantee of your presence, Lord, because we can't do it. There's a lesson for somebody this morning. Stop where you are. Push the pause button and say, Lord, I'm not moving from this place unless your presence goes with us. And God says to Moses, you can't handle my presence. Nobody can see my presence and live. I can't show you my presence. And he persevered. Lord, we're not moving from this spot until you show us your glory. We are not moving. And so God said, okay, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. I'll hide you away and my presence will pass you by. He received the assurance of God's presence through not giving up. Men, some of you this morning need to be reminded that God hasn't left you or forsaken you. God's presence is available to you. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. He's closer than you think. Jesus. Oh, yes, my favorite one. What about Zacchaeus? Hey, Vandal, Zacchaeus was a wee little... That was Van's favorite song he told me when he was young. Hey, Van? That's it. What was Zacchaeus' problem? Zacchaeus was short. He couldn't see Jesus because of the crowds. And so what did he do? He climbed the tree. As a result of climbing the tree, Jesus saw him. He said, hey, Zac, come down from that tree. We're having lunch together. Or was it tea? Sorry, it was tea. And Zac walked away with the miracle. But imagine he'd given up. Folks, some of you this morning need to climb a tree. You've been too passive. You've been too inactive in your faith because of the crowds and because of circumstances. You haven't been able to access Jesus. And so you've removed yourself. You've distanced yourself. And this morning, God's encouraging you. Get active in your faith. Do something different. Climb a tree if need be. But put yourself in a position where God can bless you. Man, there's a lesson for somebody this morning. Open that Bible and read it. Get stuck into prayer. Find a cell group to attend. Make some new friends. Come to church, but put yourself in a position where God can show up and bless your life. Climb a tree. Hey, my personal favorite, Matthew 20. Because I try and imagine the situation. You got two blind guys sitting at the side of the road. They hear that Jesus is passing by and they start shouting out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. You can just imagine these two blind beggars. He has my hope. He has my healing. Jesus is coming. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. What do the people do? Hey, guys. You're disturbing the peace. Making a noise. Keep quiet. The crowd tries to silence them. People try to keep them from Jesus. What did they do? They persevered. And the Bible says even the more they shouted, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped. He walked over to them and the Bible says he touched them. And they were healed. Imagine they had listened to the voice of the crowd. Friends, the crowd, the world, will always try and silence you. There'll be people who come across your path who discourage you. Even good people, even Christian people, may say things to discourage you, to push you away from Jesus. Don't allow the crowd to silence you. This morning, you echo those words. Jesus, Son of David. Have mercy on me, my children, my family, my marriage, my life. And guess what? He will. Don't give up because the crowd tries to silence you. Okay, give me 4 minutes to finish up this morning before we baptize. Great faith perseveres, but lastly this morning, great faith appreciates God's power. What did you think of the lady's comment in verse 27? She says, true, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. My first thought was, lady, you shortchanging yourself. This is Jesus we're talking about, and you are content with little crumbs? Why not negotiate for a loaf of bread or at least a couple of slices of bread? But listen to this very carefully this morning. Even a few crumbs which fall from the table of Jesus Christ have enough power to satisfy you. It's not about the size of the crumbs. It's about whose table those crumbs fall from. Listen to that. It's about the source of those crumbs. Who is giving them? Where do they come from? From whose table are they falling? They're falling from the table of Jesus. And therefore, even one or two has enough power and potential to satisfy you. If you're struggling today, and some of you may well be struggling, just a crumb from the table of Jesus will be enough to satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. Just one crumb. the Roman centurion, in Matthew chapter 8. His servant was ill. He said to Jesus, "Just say a word, and my servant will be healed." One word? Depends who speaks the word. One word from Jesus can change the rest of your life. One word. One crumb, one word is enough. What about the lady with the issue of blood? "If I can just touch the hem of his cloak, I'll be healed." A cloak? A garment? All depends who's wearing the cloak. All depends who's wearing the garment. One touch of the cloak of Jesus Christ, and her life was never to be the same again. Folk, I want to encourage you this morning. Just a crumb, just a word, just a touch is all you need, and you will never be the same again. I want us to bow our heads, please, in a moment of prayer. I just want to give you four thoughts to consider before I baptize Belinda and Sean. Just four thoughts to consider this morning. Remember, we said hardship can sometimes be a blessing in disguise. And maybe the hard road you've been walking, maybe the disappointment, that illness, that loss of a job, that discouragement, whatever the road represents for you that you've been walking, God is using that crisis even now to reveal your need for Jesus. And this morning you say, "Lord, I realize I'm not as strong as I thought I was. And this crisis has revealed how much I need you in my life." You know what Jesus says to you this morning? He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. All you who are burdened by life, and I will give you rest." May that crisis bring you to the feet of Jesus this morning. Maybe some of you, like that family I prayed for this last week, have been reminded of the spiritual battle. You've been under the cosh. You've been taking strain. The enemy's had a field day, like a wrecking ball coming against your life and against your family. And today I want to encourage you to lift up your eyes, my friend. Because all power and all authority belongs to Jesus. And the Bible says who Jesus Christ sets free, that person will be free indeed. Be encouraged. Some of you have been reminded this morning to persevere. Hey, over the years you've grown weary, you've grown discouraged. People have put you off. The church has hurt you, or something's happened to you, and you've given up. And this morning, God, by His Spirit, has reminded you there's so much to gain. There are so many benefits through perseverance. And so I encourage you, pick up the baton again. Give it another try. And you'll discover God is a great rewarder of those who diligently and perseveringly seek Him. Maybe some of you finally needed to be reminded this morning of God's amazing power. Just one crumb. Just one word. Just one touch of His garment. And everything can be different. And so I encourage you, if that's you this morning, seek God. Climb a tree. Do whatever you can do to put yourself in a position where God can meet you and bless you. He is not as far away as you think He is. Father, thank you. We commit these things to you, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, won't you cause us to wrestle with them, to think them through. And Lord, may we never be the same as a result of the power of your Holy Spirit at work in our lives this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.